pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously, I'm 24.
Sir, everything that's happened today, from the infected body at Health Services to Ramon Salazar's prison break, has been part of an elaborate sting operation.
Mr. President, a group of scientists from the Ukraine were trying to sell a weaponized virus on the open market. And I suggested the Salazars as potential buyers. Our goal was to remove the virus stockpile from the marketplace. But all of this hinged on me convincing the Salazars that I had switched sides.
Camille, the man who betrayed us, is now our friend.
Power came to me with an opportunity to make more money than we have ever dreamed of.
What's in it for you, Jack?
$15 million.
I would never have thought that Jack Bauer was for sale.
You said you'd take me away from here. Do you remember, Jack?
Yes, I remember.
There was one small thing you forgot to mention. You were a cop. But even that wouldn't matter if you'd meant half the things you said to me.
I meant everything I ever said to you.
For the next few hours, all of our resources are dedicated to helping Jack Bauer intercept this virus.
Tony, I spoke to Chase. He is not coming back to CTU. He still thinks my father was captured by the Salazars.
And he thinks he's going in to rescue Jack. Damn it, if he goes in there, he's gonna blow Jack's cover and we're gonna lose this virus.
I know this man. Bauer's partner!
What the hell is going on here, Jack?
Shut up, Chase. You should never have followed me down here.
You with them?
Yes, I'm with them.
Jack.
Shut up, Chase. You wanna get through this, just shut up!
The transponder in Jack's watch just went dead.
Damn it!
Time the assault teams are in position. We'll have no idea where he is.
The following takes place between 9 p.m. and 10 p.m.
British Sky Broadcasting presents 24, starring Kiefer Sutherland as Jack Bauer, voiced by Tim Bruce on behalf of MCS Agency.
Ladies and gentlemen, the president will make a brief statement. There will be no questions at this time.
An invited crowd of reporters and camera crew respectfully rise from their seats as Palmer walks purposefully up to the podium of a press-packed conference room.
My fellow Americans, good evening. A few hours ago, I had to terminate the presidential debate in order to handle what was at the time a national security threat. I can't reveal to you at this time the details surrounding the situation. Those will be forthcoming in the next few hours. Let me assure you that the danger that existed a few hours ago has passed. America is safe. The American people are safe. I apologize to my opponent, Senator Keeler, and to the millions of you who are expecting to see the two of us engage in the issues. The debate will be rescheduled. I'd like to thank you all for your patience and understanding. Good night.
Mr. President.
There have been rumors that this crisis was manufactured by your administration to protect your friend, Dr. Ann Packard. How do you respond to that, sir?
Those allegations were false. Senator Keeler's charges were unfounded, and we have proof. Proof that comes directly from Ann Packard's ex-husband. In fact, in the next few days and weeks, Senator Keeler will have his own explaining to do. Ann Packard is an individual of the utmost integrity. She didn't deserve this.
Mr. President, that's it. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. No more questions.
Thank you. Bauer's with the Salazar brothers in Mexico. His transponder signal stopped working. And we're doing everything we can to reestablish contact. I tell the Delta units to hold their position until I get back to you. All right, thanks. Why don't we try an amplification module? I already cycled through it three times. It's not a weak signal. There's no signal. What do we think happened here?
There's a strong possibility that Jack's cover might have been blown.
There's no indication that his transponder's been found or that his cover's been blown. It may be that he's in a place where he can't get a signal or the transponder's broken.
Partial damage might have knocked it to another frequency.
Let's run a scan.
I'm doing that now. I'm only a third way through the spectrum, but so far, no luck.
All right, I'll get you some help. Kim.
Yes, Tony?
Do you know how to do a frequency scan?
Yeah.
Okay. We're trying to pick up your father's transponder signal. Michelle's already begun the scan. Coordinate with her.
What's the signature?
I already told you, 30 over 5.
You didn't tell me.
Look, Kim, I know this is hard on you, your father's life being at stake, but I need you to focus, okay?
It's all right.
As Kim defers, Michelle throws Tony an unseen glance of concern. Meanwhile, a convoy of four tracks and pickups churns its way through the Mexican dust, eventually reaching an abandoned farmhouse.
All right, good. Call me if anything changes. Why are we stopped? Tomas says there's no sign of anyone following us. Until we know more, we're better off staying here.
Could he have come here any soon without backup?
Maybe he came by himself to rescue you. How sad. Does it bother you, Jack, that your partner is going to die trying to save you?
It breaks me up.
Find out if he came here with the others, then kill him. Chase is dragged away.
His man Amador should have called by now to set up the meeting.
He's gonna call, don't worry. Just make sure you get your money ready.
The money's ready.
Hector pulls his cell phone from his pocket.
Yeah.
It's Amador. We're ready.
Where?
Put Bauer on the phone. Only deal with him.
As he hands Jack the phone, Chase is hurled into a tin shack.
There's Jack.
Hello, Jack. 5 kilometers north of town, a trail splits off the road into the woods. Take the 2 kilometers, 15 minutes.
Got it. The meeting's north of here. 15 minutes.
Hey, wait. The phone.
What if he calls back?
I'll take a message.
He reluctantly surrenders the phone.
Look at you, Jack. You are a mess.
We gotta get you straight, or you'll never get through this.
I'm not gonna fix.
Ramon offers Jack some pills, hidden in the glove compartment of a four-track.
Take them. You'll feel better.
As the brothers watch suspiciously, Jack downs several pills in a frenzy of withdrawal.
I need to use the bathroom.
You're in the back.
9:07. Jack slopes off towards the farmhouse as Claudia tucks Sergio into bed.
I want you to get some sleep.
I'm not tired.
I'll wake you when it's time to leave.
Where's Hector?
He's busy. You'll see him tomorrow morning. Go to sleep. I love you.
She pulls a curtain across the door to Sergio's room just as Jack hurries in and quietly sits her down, looking anxiously around.
Claudia, sit down. Sit down.
He checks behind the curtains as he shoots a nervous glance out towards the yard.
I need you to listen to me. Hector and Ramon are trying to buy a virus to use as a weapon. Millions of people could die. I set up this deal so my government could take control of the virus and destroy it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
You're still with CTU?
Yes, I'm still with CTU.
But you broke Ramon out of prison.
That was so I could gain his trust to make the deal happen. I cannot allow this virus to get into the wrong hands.
You betrayed us once, now you've come to betray us again?
No, them, not you.
I was a fool to believe any of it. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to get your family somewhere safe, all lies.
I wanted to come back for you earlier. But when I heard about this virus, I had to deal with it. Millions of lives are at stake. You have to understand that. But I can get you out now. You, Sergio, and your father.
How?
American soldiers are not far from here. They're waiting for my signal, but I can't reach them because my transmitter's been destroyed. Claudia, I have nothing to gain from telling you this if it's not the truth. One word from you and I'm a dead man.
What do you want me to do?
First, I need a cell phone. I need to let CTU know where I am. Then I need you to do whatever you can to help my partner, Chase. Keep him alive.
I want him to realize this. He's gonna kill me.
You'll be gone by then. Chase can help you get out. I promise. But if I can't contact CTU, this is all for nothing. You've got to get me that phone. Please.
I'll do what I can.
He wipes a tear from her cheek, her eyes desperate to believe him. And they kiss as former lovers until Jack pulls himself away.
I have to go there waiting for me.
If you're lying to me again, I'll kill you myself.
Help, Chase.
Jack marches over to the door, but stops. Claudia throws him a vulnerable glance, and their past floods like a torrent into the present. End of part one. Part two, 9:10.
Jack Bauer broke Ramon out of prison. Your people are sending forces to bring them back. When are they coming?
Chase stares back, defiant.
When? And where?
Eduardo pummels Chase with his fist, but again Chase remains silent. As he hangs from the roof bound with rope, Eduardo motions another to smack him in the face with a shovel. Jack listens from the yard, watched carefully by Ramon.
Well, your partner must be feeling something.
I got a $15 million payday when this deal goes down. He's on his own.
Is he as tough as you?
He still believes in a lie.
What lie?
That what he's doing has purpose.
Belief is a beautiful thing.
Hello?
As Ramon talks on his cell phone, inside Hector changes his clothes. Claudia spots his phone hanging out of his jacket pocket and tries to distract him with hugs and kisses.
Where are you going?
Please.
No, don't leave.
No.
As they nuzzle, leaning against a table, Claudia reaches into his jacket pocket and slips Hector's phone into the back of her jeans.
Ramon is waiting, okay? All right.
The two head out of the porchway door and into the yard where Jack still looks on helplessly towards Chase's screams, ripping through the cooling night air. As Hector slips on his jacket and talks to Ramon, Claudia walks past and continues stealthily towards Jack, Hector's cell phone hidden in her hand.
Claudia. I left my phone inside.
I'll get it.
Let's go.
As Claudia rushes back into the farmhouse, a disappointed Jack clambers into the four-track with the Salazars, desperately worried about Chase. 9:17. Back at CTU.
Chloe.
What?
Have you heard from Chase?
No.
Are there alternate frequencies he might use to contact you?
Yeah, there are, and they're on autoscan. He hasn't checked in.
Look, Chloe, I know that you're busy, but maybe we can reach him by satellite.
Satellite? Good idea. I didn't think of that, Kim. I'll get right on that.
You don't have to be sarcastic with me, Chloe. This is someone I care about.
Get a grip.
Look, I have to update the president in half an hour. I don't want to tell him we're the same place we were a half hour ago, which is nowhere. I don't want excuses. Just get me the answer, all right?
I need to finalize the confo.
It should have been done already.
Well, I need the format code, and you said you were going to download it.
Delta 733 Golf.
That's the code from the previous file.
Delta 723 Bravo.
Thank you.
All right. Did you get it?
Yeah, I got it.
8 minutes shot to hell and an invalid code.
Kim taps the code into her computer.
Access granted.
Now that could have been a disaster. Without those files, we can't track the rescue teams.
Kim considers Tony as he strides across the concourse and passes an equally concerned Michelle. 9:18, Palmer's L.A. office.
Come.
Bad news. CTU lost track of Jack Bauer.
Is he in trouble?
We don't know.
Does he have possession of the virus yet?
We don't know that either, David.
Come.
Mr. President, I have Alan Milliken on the line for you.
Palmer and Wayne size up the moment.
I'll take it.
Wayne leaves and Palmer reaches for the phone.
Alan?
David? You angry with me?
Of course I'm not angry with you.
Your first time in L.A. in 3 years, and you don't even call.
It's been a bad day, Alan.
I know. I've been watching the news. I don't want to add to your burdens, but I'd like to come by and see you.
See me?
David. I wouldn't ask if it weren't important. I know you're busy. After all, you are the President of the United States.
In large part, thanks to you. I'll come to you, Alan. I'll be there in 15 minutes.
Thank you, David. And one more thing. As a personal favor to me, I'm asking you not to bring Wayne.
May I ask why?
That's something I'd rather explain in person.
All right.
Palmer studies Wayne through the window of his office and wonders at Milliken's meaning. 9:20. Gael and Tony at CTU.
Where are we?
So far, not able to pick up Jack on any of our imagery. How long have we been out of contact? His tracking beacon went dead 27 minutes ago.
Last known location?
Here. He can't be much farther out than 30 miles in any one direction.
Unless he was choppered out.
No way. Air Tactical's watching the skies.
Where's Bauer? We don't know yet.
That's great. So, this entire operation, which hinges on Jack being on site when they deliver the virus, is going down the tubes because we don't know where he is. How does that happen?
Look, Ryan, you want to chew us out? Do it later. We're trying to get this back on track.
I will. You better find Bauer and make this thing work, Tony. Otherwise, the two of you and Jack, assuming he's still alive, are going to take the fall for everything that happened today. From the prison riots to Salazar's escape and every dead body in between.
So what happens if Jack goes to this meeting without backup?
The Salazars get the virus. What happens from there? I don't know.
9:22. Jack and the Salazars arrive in convoy at the rendezvous point. Amador, a sharp-suited man, emerges from a heavily guarded tent and pads coolly through the dust towards them.
Feeling better?
I'm fine.
They stroll out of their cars to meet him in a no-man's land of crisscrossing headlight beams.
Amador?
Hello, Jack. So these must be the buyers you're representing.
This is Hector and Ramon Salazar. There's $100 million in escrow accounts in Geneva and Hong Kong. We're prepared to give immediate instructions to have the money transferred as soon as we have confirmation that the virus has been delivered.
There's been a complication. Another buyer's interested in the virus.
What are you talking about? We have a deal.
What's going on, Jack?
They don't know.
I have nothing to do with it. There's a new development that's just surfaced in the last few hours. We'll hold an auction, and the virus will go to the highest bidder.
Hector lunges forward, but they hold him back.
Mr. Salazar, I merely represent the wishes of my client.
May we have a moment?
Of course.
Hector, this does not need to be a problem.
It's a huge problem.
Think it through. You had $40 to $50 million to this price tag, and you're still looking at over an $800 million profit. You said you could move the virus for $1 billion. That was your estimate, right?
Something like that.
You've come this far. Don't stop. Let it play out.
The other buyer's here.
Another four-track approaches from the opposite direction. Among a gang of armed men, a woman climbs out. Jack recognizes her and turns his face away to cope with the shock.
You know her?
As she nears Amador, Jack looks her square on. It's Nina Myers.
What the hell is he doing here? That man is a federal agent.
I know who he is, Nina. Everything's fine.
No, it's not. He's setting us up. You have to kill him. Kill him!
First man who fires gets cut down. That's a promise.
No one moves. It's an armed standoff. Amador struts between the two rival gangs.
Why is he here?
Represents a buyer, Nina, just like you.
No, he doesn't. Believe me, I know him. Whatever he's told you, he's lying.
I don't work for CTU anymore, Nina. I work for myself.
She regards Jack with utter distrust and leaves.
I'm out of here.
Nina, please.
Let her go and honor the original agreement.
Nina! I don't think your client's gonna be too happy if you walk out and let the virus go to another buyer.
She stops.
We gotta close this deal.
We have a wide perimeter, lookouts everywhere, and we're monitoring every frequency. There's no law or military within 25 kilometers. You know how I work. This area is completely secure. If I had the slightest doubt, I wouldn't be here. Now, I suggest we all take a few minutes to calm ourselves. Then I'll explain the ground rules and we'll proceed with the bids. Agreed?
Agreed.
Fine.
Good.
Jack turns away in disgust. 9:25. End of part two. Part three. 9:30. And President Palmer's motorcade arrives at the colonnaded forecourt of a sumptuous mansion, built to awe and impress, the home of a very rich and powerful man. Palmer buttons up his jacket as a familiar aide opens the ornate wrought iron door to Alan Millican's rich and stately home. As Palmer walks through to his study, Millican, robed in a silken dressing gown, rises respectfully from his wheelchair to shake his friendly hand.
David.
Alan, it's good to see you.
Thanks for finding the time to fit me in.
You've always made time for me, Alan. Even when there was no obvious reason to do so.
Your potential is always obvious, David.
How are you doing?
I'd like to use a few new body parts, but besides that...
You look well.
They sit either side of a desk.
I know you're wondering what could be so important that I'd ask you here. So I'll be brief and I'll be blunt. I want your brother off the team.
I don't understand. You've always been supportive of Wayne.
I was. I'm not anymore.
What's this all about, Adam?
As Palmer rises, Millican reaches from intercom.
Yes, sir?
Tell my wife to come in here.
Right away, sir.
A sexy, very much younger black beauty glides in on high heels in an air of wealthy self-confidence.
Julia.
Mr. President.
David is wondering why I want him to fire Wayne. And I thought you should explain.
As you know, I've known Wayne for some time. 3 years ago, when he was president of Allen's company, we began to spend quite a bit of time together.
Get to it, Julia.
Wayne and I became involved.
They had an affair while I was recuperating from the stroke. That's how your brother thanked me. Go on.
We saw each other for a year before you asked him to join your administration. Then we broke it off.
Hold on. If you knew about this, why didn't you say something?
I didn't. I just found out recently. Did you know, David? Did you keep it from me, too?
Of course not. I can hardly even believe it's true.
It's true. I've told you how sorry I am.
You can go. I waited for you to come to Los Angeles so I could do this face to face. I gave your brother my company. He took my wife. Now I'm taking away his job.
Wayne is my chief of staff, my closest friend. I trust him.
I don't, and neither should you. He's dishonest. I think you'd agree, David, that you wouldn't be where you are without my support over the years. I've never asked you for anything in return, but I'm asking you now. Fire Wayne.
Sorry, Alan, I can't do that.
I'm disappointed. Not surprised. And you know me well enough not to be surprised if there are repercussions.
I hope you're not threatening me.
I don't make threats, David. I just tell it like it is. You let me know if you change your mind.
A carer in a medical jacket wheels Milliken out of the room. 9:34. Michelle and Kim at CTU.
Have them open up the field search to these coordinates. Tell them it's a priority.
Do you want me to ask?
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but can I see you for a minute? Do you have enough to go on?
I'll let you know if the satellite guys give me any trouble.
Okay. What is it?
It's actually about Tony. Look, I don't know if he's...
You don't know if he... What?
I don't know if he's well enough to do his job.
Kim, he was shot a few hours ago. He's not going to be working at full capacity.
I know, but what if he misses something important? I mean, he's running things.
What happened?
He asked me to finalize the comm files, but he forgot to give me the format codes. And then just before, he chewed me out for forgetting something he thought he told me, except he never told me.
He's under a lot of stress. We all are.
That's my point. Michelle, you're his wife, but you're also second in command. And if Tony can't do the job, somebody has to tell Chappelle, and I think that someone should be you.
9:36. Worn out torturing Chase without a result, Eduardo and his crony relax outside with a beer. Claudia strides purposefully up to them with all the authority of the absent boss's moll.
What are you doing?
Taking a rest.
There's oil under Hector's truck. It needs to be fixed before Hector gets back. Now!
Okay, I'll check it out.
Grudgingly, Eduardo slopes back towards the farmhouse yard and Hector's leaky jeep. Claudia follows him anxiously with her eyes, but he doesn't look back. Inside the tin shack, Chase spits blood from his battered mouth as he hangs, doll-like, suspended by a rope. Claudia reaches for a water canteen and hurriedly dabs his lips and face with her hand.
Here, I have a message from Jack. Can you hear me? Things aren't what they seem. Jack isn't really with Ramon and Hector. Everything he's done has been to earn their trust. The virus that they're going to buy, Jack is going to take it from them. Do you understand? There are soldiers from your country not far from here. They'll come when Jack calls for them.
What?
Jack promised to get me and my family out of here if I help you.
Then help me.
I can't now. There are too many men around. Don't give up. I'll figure out a way. Right?
She quickly leaves. Meanwhile, Jack relays Amador's bidding terms to the Salazars.
Each party will make one final bid in writing. Amador wants to start in the next 10 minutes. You have to come up with a number.
We are offering 100. She must have made him enough to make this worthwhile. Say another 50.
So we go 175.
More. If we do this, we do it to win. At least 200.
Ramon shoots a glance at the rival bidder some 20 yards away.
Make the calls. Who is she?
I told you she worked for me at CTU. Now, there's more between you and this woman. She killed my wife. Is this going to be a problem, Jack?
9:43. Claudia edgily drums on the farmhouse table.
Where are we going?
We'll be together.
We're together now. Is Hector coming with us?
Sergio, just be ready to leave.
But what about Hector?
Sergio, forget about Hector. Just do what I'm telling you.
Defeated, Sergio retreats back to his room. Claudia waits until he's gone, then checks on Eduardo in the yard. The coast is clear. Claudia rushes into the kitchen and hurriedly rummages through the drawers in search of knives. Her perplexed father joins her side.
What are you going to do?
Jack said if I help his partner, he'll get us out of here, Papa.
These people, Ramon, Hector, Jack Bauer, you can't trust any of them.
Jack's not like Ramon and Hector. Papa, please, this is our chance to get out of here.
Then go.
No. No, we're all going. No, I'm not going without you.
Claudia embraces her father fondly, drawing him tight into her arms. She breaks away and carefully selects a carving knife from a kitchen drawer. 9:44, Tony at CTU.
What about Landside Alpha 39? Yeah, that's about it, right? Thanks. I just checked all the NSA logs. There's no satellites going through the area we think Jack's in.
I'll check the flight paths just in case.
Just in case what? I just checked it.
There have been other mistakes today, Tony.
Mistakes? Did you think I made?
Sweetheart, you should still be in the hospital. If you're not 100%, you should step down.
I'm fine.
And after what you've been through today, I don't see how
you... I just said I'm fine, right? End of discussion, please.
Tony, I've got something. The NSA's got a satellite. We may be able to reposition. We just have to ask for access.
All right, thanks.
Yeah.
As Tony practically swaggers with pride back to his office, Michelle mulls over her options and responsibilities in her mind. She reaches her painful decision, takes a deep breath, and makes a beeline for Chappelle's office. Chappelle sits at his desk on a call.
As for the information packets, they have already been sent out to district.
Yes.
In the interest of protecting...
I need to talk to you, Ryan.
I really think it's best if we don't...
I don't think Tony should be here right now.
My understanding is he's not in any imminent danger.
No, it's not that. I've had reports he's been forgetful. Missing things.
Like what?
Key information, format codes, things that are causing delays. On any other day, I wouldn't be worried about this, but... I'm just not sure if he's up to it today.
If I pull him now, that sets us back too. No one can replace what he does. He, Gael, and Jack have been working this from the beginning. Unless you think his mistakes are significant enough...
I do. Or else I wouldn't be bringing this to you.
All right. Just let me wrap up this call and I'll get into it.
Thank you.
9:47. Wayne in Palmer's office.
I understand that, but you need to make it happen.
We're working on it, sir.
All right, thanks.
Just got back from seeing Alan.
What do you want?
Oh, I think you know.
And what, David?
He wants me to fire you. What the hell were you thinking? Carrying on an affair with a married woman, the wife of my biggest supporter.
Listen, I am sorry, but it was a mistake, and I corrected it.
Not in Alan's mind. For him, this is fresh. Just found out, and he wants to make you pay.
Look, we both know you can't afford to make an enemy out of Alan. He wields too much power, so I'll resign.
You'll leave only if I decide it's the right thing to do, not Alan Milliken.
David, Alan is a very dirty fighter. Trust me. Are you sure you want to get down there in the gutter with that man?
Well, you haven't left me much choice, have you?
Palmer gives Wayne a disapproving, paternal glare, then leaves Wayne alone in his office to replay the ghosts of the past. 9:48. Tony stomps reluctantly towards Chappelle's office. Michelle guiltily avoids his eyes as he enters.
You want to see me, Ryan?
Yeah.
What's going on?
I asked you here because your competency has been brought into question.
By whom?
By me. An employee came to me with some concerns, and I felt...
An employee?
Kim Bauer.
And I felt I needed to address them.
With Ryan? He didn't come to me first.
I tried to talk to you, Tony.
You enough.
The point is, Ryan, is that they're wrong. I am fit for duty completely.
All right. When you entered the room, the monitor was on. Tell me what it showed.
On the left side was a CTAN schematic of the country, indicating an ongoing investigation in Florida, New York, and Montana. On the right side was an all-clear report from the Austin branch.
That's correct. It still doesn't ease my mind considering the slips you made.
What slips?
Michelle?
You thought you gave Kim the signature on the frequency scans. You didn't.
Not verbally, no. I put him on her in-screen 15 minutes before I talked to her. Anything else?
She said you didn't load the format codes onto the grid in time.
No, I didn't load the format codes onto her grid. I put them in the shared volume, on time. Check it.
All right. I'm sorry, Tony. We're done here.
Good.
Tony shoots Michelle an angry glare and strides out victorious.
You've wasted time we don't have.
Michelle squirms in the discomfort of her own ill-judged betrayal. 9:50. End of part three. Nine:55. Inside Amador's brightly lit tent, henchmen frisk the Amazonian beauty, Nina Myers, then Hector and Ramon, and finally Jack for signs of weapons in their jackets and pockets. Nina sits on one side of a horseshoe of metallic tables, the Salazars at the other, with Jack standing impatiently behind. And Amador, master of ceremonies, sits arrogantly at the top. Nina and Jack regard each other like old-time poker enemies.
Are you ready with your bids?
Yes.
Yes.
Let me see them.
Jack walks confidently up to Amador and slips a sealed envelope onto the table. Amador opens it and reads a paper inside confirming the Salazar bid.
Banks will verify the presence of these funds.
Yes, that is correct.
Amador reaches for Nina's envelope and does the same. Tension begins to show on Nina's face.
Bank will verify those as well.
Your bid is $225 million. Ours is $240. Nina, you win.
You are a dead man.
My people will escort you out. The transfer will take place in 2 hours.
The Salazars leave in disgust. Nina grins at Jack.
You said you wanted to deliver the virus and you didn't.
Not now, Hector. Come on.
Amador gives Nina a handwritten paper.
I'll be contacting you with the details.
Excellent. We'll be waiting for your call.
Let's go.
Jack watches as Nina and her cronies march triumphantly out of the tent to the jeeps and head off into the night. Amador is close behind, but heads a different way. Jack pauses to rethink his options, then jumps crestfallen into Ramon's four-track as it begins to pull away.
You can't let Nina Myers just walk away from this. You gotta put a man on her.
Shut up.
Ramon, listen to me. If Nina gets away now, she'll disappear. You'll never find her again.
You had your chance, Jack.
A look of panic flashes through Jack's face as he realizes his likely fate. Meanwhile, Chase barely hangs onto consciousness as he dangles from a rope, flies buzzing around his blood-congealed head. Palmer contemplates Alan Millikan's threat to harm him if he doesn't sack Wayne, his own brother, from his position as chief of staff, and Nina sits cool and deadly in the back of her speeding Jeep, while the two Salazar brothers boil with anger and the need for instant revenge.
All right. He's good enough.
9:58. The Salazar convoy comes to an abrupt stop.
Oh, please. You're making a mistake.
Get out.
I can explain. I didn't know that...
Get out!
The brothers cock their weapons.
You're of no use to us anymore! You failed!
Hector, don't do this! Ramon, think this through. What about all your buyers around the world that you promised the virus to? They're gonna know you were double-crossed and that you did nothing about it. What are you going to say to them? I'm sorry, we'll try and get it right next time. The Salazar name will be a joke. You can't let that happen. Come on. 5 hours ago, you were in an American prison, and now you're free because I broke you out. And then I brought you the deal of a lifetime. What do I have to do to prove to you I'm on your side? This deal can still happen. We can get the virus.
How'd you get the virus?
I told you. The woman, Nina.
The woman, she's the problem. She outbid us.
I know her. I trained her. I can get to her.
You don't even know how to find her.
I'll find her. Please, Ramon, you can't lose here. If I fail, you get to kill me, fine. But if I succeed, the deal will go forward. We'll be back on track. We'll all get paid. Please.
Let's play this out a little longer.
Jack cowers in the headlights, his hands raised in pleading and surrender.
The man has more lives than a cat.
The brothers return to their four-track as Jack fights through the glare of its headlamps back into the volatile bosom of the Salazar clan. 10 p.m. The end.
It's the last in the series of Crash Test Dummies tomorrow night at 8 on Sky 1, followed at 9 by Road Wars. Next tonight on Sky 2, back to more 24.